Hello, and welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast, where each episode we share actionable strategies for amping up your real estate marketing game. And now, here's your host, Dave Cole.
And we welcome you into this edition. I'm Dave Cole, joined by Scott Winteroth, and today we want to help with your creativity. It's kind of it can happen. It happens to everybody. You get a little bit complacent and on automatic. And in this day and age, with all the social media and all the technology, we kind of have to keep innovating no matter how much or how little experience we've got. So, Scott, welcome in. And I'm anxious to hear this one as well.
Yeah, well, Dave, thanks. I actually, we're on the heels of sort of a month-long campaign that I embarked on called The Creative Year Ever. And it's the new year, at least, you know, it depends when you're listening to this episode, but right now we're about the middle of January. And it's just an excellent time of the year to sort of review how last year went, and then obviously review how you want to make 2019 or whatever year you're embarking on your best year ever. But I sort of slipped out best year and I slipped in creativity, because I think that everyone is really a creative person in different aspects. And whether you're focused on selling, or whether you're focused on marketing, or whether you're doing a little bit in between, I think that creativity applies to both, to everyone working in the real estate business. And, you know, you'll be surprised at how valuable your creativity really is. In each episode, Dave and myself, I give myself credit, but we show up and we share a lot of creative tips for marketing yourself. And I think that you don't get these type of creative ideas unless you're out there doing, creating, and getting yourself aligned to have one of your best year ever. So I think that if you're going to talk about creativity, obviously we just kind of talked about what is creativity. Creativity is the implementation or the idea, the formation of making yourself known, getting your business out in front of people. I'm speaking of creativity. Creativity comes obviously in many forms. For some, it's art. It's you know, literally drawing or art. For others, it could be problem solving, or it could be you know, getting creative ideas for how you're going to market your business. So to me, I want you to sort of take away the idea that creativity is just for someone who's maybe drawing or someone who's an artist. Creativity is not that. Creativity is basically everyone who wants to sort of work in marketing or sales or anything and sort of have an online business. I mean, the internet has required many, many people to think of their business in new ways and be more creative with it in terms of creating content, creating social media, doing online videos, doing podcasts like this. You know, it requires us all to be creative in new ways. But the problem is, although you may have the ideas for how to be creative, it takes a certain person to want to execute that creativity, right? You got to get up every day and you got to create, you got to make new content. You got to get it out there and schedule it, right? So in order to make that happen, you got to have goals, right? And I think that every agent, I'm sure, has goals. Maybe there's sales goals. Maybe there's number of calls they're going to make or whatever. And I like to sort of break down goals into sort of three types of goals. The first one would be what I call acceleration goals, where ultimately it's like I'm making three calls a day, but I want to make 10 calls, right? So you need to sort of work your goals to kind of do what you're doing and then continue to accelerate them to their next level. So how are you going to get from, you know, 10 calls to 12 calls, right? And you're going to need creativity to help you decide that, right? The bigger the goals, the more creativity you need. So for example, the next set of goals is what I call, which actually I borrow from Charles Duhigg from the book Smarter, Faster, Better, are transformation goals, right? So how am I going to go from the example that I like to use for myself is like, okay, I want to start jogging every day, but I'm not jogging at all right now. So how am I going to go from couch to getting up to jogging, right? That's a transformational goal. I'm going to need to use a lot of creativity to sort of get myself up and wanting to make that happen. And finally, I think this applies to, especially people in real estate, stretch goals. So obviously maybe you're selling, $1 million this year and you want to take it to you want to make your next level. So your stretch goal might be $2 million, right? So ultimately, you don't necessarily know how you're going to get there, right? And you don't necessarily have a way to, you don't have a plotted plan to get to another $1 million in your sales, but you need to use stretch goals to sort of aim high and hope that your creativity, not hope, but know that your creativity will get you there based on where you're going to go, right? You know, so just something to consider. Here are some strategy ideas for how to sort of make yourself more creative. And I think that, you know, as a busy business owner, as a busy broker, as a busy owner, maybe you have lots of people either you work with or you touch every day. But I think that's also important to maybe take some time to make yourself more creative. And then when you are creative, the idea of hiring the right people or finding the right people to help fill your gaps, your stop gaps, will come into place. But in order to do that, let's first talk about working on yourself to be more creative. And the first one I really recommend for everyone is definitely review your daily routine so you can enhance your productivity. And I think that maybe some of you are doing this, but obviously check and really look at what are you doing every day, and is it something that you should be doing? And if you should be doing it, are you focusing on the right things? There are a million productivity books or a million self-help books that tell you on how to optimize and sort of focus on doing the right things. I can name a few off the top of my head. Obviously, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. The One Thing by the Keller Williams guy. I can't think of his name, but the Keller Williams fame. Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy. There's a million books that can help you sort of be more productive. And I recommend reading all of them. I think they all have their own values to bring to people. But ultimately, probably one of the simplest things that I would recommend is just literally tracking your time every day. And there's a free app that you can try. It's called Toggle, TOGGL.com. And it's just a simple desktop timer. And you can use it on your phone as well, on your mobile phone, where you can track your time of what you're doing. And you'll be surprised how much time you spend doing stuff that maybe isn't really a priority for you or a priority for your business. I know for me, when I started doing it, I realized that I spent almost 80% of my day in email, I had a great inbox, but I wasn't being the most productive person I could be. So it's really good to sort of examine what are you working on each day and is it bringing the most value to your business? And that brings me to sort of my next point is every book you ever read brings us up, but it's the 80-20 principle, the Pareto principle, where basically 80% of your results come from 20% of your effort, right? So if you think of like, let's say you have 10 tasks that you have to do each day, the 10 tasks that are on your to-do list today, I bet you only 3 or 4 of those tasks are actually going to be tasks that drive value in your business. That could be calling prospects, that could be sending out a newsletter, that could be doing social media marketing, right? Those tasks are highly valuable because they're helping market and grow your business. But all the other, BS that comes up on your to-do list, you need to either figure out, do you really need to do this? Or if it needs to get done, then how can you outsource it to someone who can do it for you? Or how can you get it off your plate? Because you should be focused on the tasks that are going to provide you the most effort or provide you the most value for your business. So yeah, and I think the best way to do that is to figure out when you're going to say no. Who can you say no to? How can you say no to things? And that might be personal obligations. That might be professional obligations. But for me, I realize that creativity is like a battery, like a cell phone battery, Dave. And ultimately, when I sort of do things that are outside of what's in line with my long-term vision, I drain that battery. So for example, before the holidays, I decided to take on a client project, a website project. And I love doing websites and I love helping clients, but this one I knew was going to be particularly hard. And particularly complex, right? So I took it on, but what happened is it completely drained my creativity battery, right? So when I wanted to work on my own projects, I then realized that my creativity was sort of drained, right? So I couldn't really focus on doing the stuff that I wanted to work on because I was so drained from doing this project for a client. So sometimes you really have to decide, and it's hard in probably the real estate business, or it's hard when you have a million, you know, you want to take on every client you can get because you're trying to increase your sales. But I think what's most important is being strategic with what you take on. This is really important where we talk about in lots of different episodes. Dave, you bring this up a lot, like, you know, working with different niches or niches, however you want to say it, you know, focusing on a particular farm area or focusing on a particular type of client, our ideal client, because that way you can decide, okay, this is an ideal client for me. Therefore, I want to focus on going after these type of clients because they're going to bring the most value to me and to my business. And then the ones who are looking for stuff that's maybe outside of your selling area or clients that are maybe not an ideal fit for you, I know this can be hard, but sometimes you have to say no. And then that way it frees you up to focus on your most high value clients or your most high value tasks.
You know, Scott, one thing to pick up on that point that I like to talk about as well when working with agents, whether it's media coaching or in a marketing strategy workshop or that type of thing, mm-hmm. is that creativity is also a part of doing market research. So sometimes, and especially to real estate agents, you say, hey, you know, some market research might be needed here. It's a new community or there's some new aspect to it. And immediately the thought goes to, oh, what book do I read? What Excel spreadsheet do I need to open? What statistics am I going to use? And actually, and especially with the creative aspect that you're talking about, Scott, that is not the case. One example, which doesn't mean everybody should, you know, drop what they're doing and do this specific. It's kind of, I'm suggesting this to get the wheels turning, but there's a lot of agents out there that choose not to do open houses, not to hold them. They don't want to use that as part of their marketing. And I'm not saying, hey, get out of your comfort zone and hold three of them this week. No, you don't have to hold any, but you also are aware that there are a lot of agents that use holding open houses very successfully because they're helping to sell the property that they're listing, but they're also recruiting, for lack of another word, new clients, new potential clients, people in the neighborhood, and that's the strategy in doing that. So if you don't like open houses as part of your marketing, it doesn't mean you should overlook them. So my suggestion is to either go to open houses just to look at the property. But while you're there, you're seeing the marketing materials that the agent has there. Maybe they have a lender there. What is it about the property? What are they showing first? You may go to, you know, two or three different open houses and they may all start in the living room. And then you can think, you know what, that kitchen should sell that house. If I was doing an open house here, I would start in the kitchen. That's where I would lead people to. Again, you're not going to have an open house. It's not in your marketing ammunition, and I'm not saying it should be, but now you know, hey, you know what? If I'm selling this house or a house with these features, I'm going to emphasize the kitchen. You're doing your advertising. So it's things like that. Another strategy along those lines, and there is at least one website that'll do this almost everywhere around the country, things like estate sales, also garage sales that are not hard to come by, at least at the appropriate times of the year in the different cities. So you can go, maybe even not as an agent. You don't have to wear the company colors. Be going as somebody that's looking for, you know, a camera they can get for their kid, or kitchen decorations, or you need a new set of dishes. Even if you don't, they will let you, especially at estate sales, walk through the house and pick up the items that are in different rooms. You can see how is this house laid out. It's probably for sale or maybe about to be sold because it's an estate sale, but that's beside the point. You can get strategies and ideas. And so it's the kind of thing where that could help you. You may come up with the neighbor's listing down the street and to be able to go, hey, you know, Joe and Mary's place down the street, they have a finished basement. How about if we did that with you? It's to kind of give you ideas, see what other houses, the more properties you can be inside of and know something about in your farm area, the better you are. So, and again, these are things you can do without holding your own open house. You can kind of take and add ideas to your own arsenal. And I think that, Scott, falls under creativity as well, to take a look at what you're not doing to see how you can incorporate the best parts that you want to into what you are doing.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. I think that one of the things that you mentioned too is that you have to sometimes get out beyond your comfort zone, or you have to get out there and basically do stuff that's going to be help you be more receptive to creativity, right? And that sort of brings me to the next point. You know, there's if you're a writer or you are an agent, it doesn't really matter. You have to sometimes get out of your day-to-day mindset and go do stuff that's going to sort of create space in your mind to be more receptive to new ideas, new things. And then here are some tips that I want to share with you quickly on ways to be more receptive. Other than going out there, for me, one of the best things that I started doing in 2018 to lead to a great 2019 was journaling. I try to journal every evening. Doesn't happen every evening, but I just have a few bullet points that I try to cover every day in terms of how the day went, what could I have done, what could I do better, and how is going to, what am I going to sort of do better tomorrow, kind of thing. And journaling has been a great way. You can do it in paper, you can do it more traditionally, or you could do it online. There's lots of apps, both on the Mac and the PC, that'll let you do digital journals. And I'm not asking for a huge 3-page thesis each night, unless that's what you want to do. But you could just do a couple of bullet points, and that could be a great way to sort of defrag your mind, defrag your brain, if you will, and put out on paper what's the most valuable and how are you going to be more creative in your business tomorrow? The next thing I like to do is what's called visualizations, and not to get too woo-woo here, but ultimately sort of visualize success, and visualizations and affirmations. I'm going to kind of group these together. These are great sort of tools that people use, and you can lead it. There's a lot of people who are experts at this. I'm not. I just like to think of who do I want to be, and then how I'm, and then I keep telling myself every day, how am I going to get there? And this could be as elaborate or as simple as you want it to be, but visualizing where you're going and then affirming that you have everything you need to get there is one way to at least give you a positive attitude, keep you more mindful of what you're working on, and ultimately prepare yourself to be more creative and more receptive for new ideas, new connections, and ultimately new clients who will hopefully come down and work with you. And then finally, accountability. Obviously, you know, the real estate can be a tough, tough business, but luckily I have partners like Dave and a few other great friends that help keep me accountable. And that obviously, for a great example, is because we have this partnership, we do this podcast, right? If we didn't have this partnership, we probably wouldn't be accountable to doing this, right? So getting together and scheduling this allows us to build accountability. So really finding people in your business and in your life who can be an accountability partner, maybe even hiring an actual accountability coach would be a great thing. But who is that person who's going to keep you on task? Hint, it's probably not your spouse or your mother or somebody, because they, although are rooting for you, they don't necessarily know the tasks and the they don't really know how you're going to get there, right? You need someone who really knows how they're going to get you to that end goal. Or maybe even it's someone who is already there where you're at, right? And that person can help you be accountable through telling you how to get to where you're going. Obviously, working with other brokers in your office, or maybe a broker owner who would probably be more than happy to coach, is definitely a great person to maybe look for mentorship, look through accountability with. So, Dave.
Yeah, just again, to pick up on that point, one of the, because in addition to working with agents, I also work a lot with real estate investors and real estate investment groups. So along those lines, one of the investor groups that I work with, the one kind of the primary guy is the money guy, willing to finance the right deal, but kind of taking the I know what I don't know stance and realizing you just don't grab, you know, any deal. It's not always based on finances. There's variables, there's market considerations. Along came two other partners, one of whom had worked for years as a union carpenter. And so here's the case, and the other partner, I guess I'll get right into that, actually was retired and had some money to invest, had actually been a fireman, worked for the fire department. So now you combine forces of everybody with the partnership, the carpenter and the fireman, did not have the financial resources as the investor, but they had the knowledge. So now, in focusing on the area that they all worked, they were able to go in and look at a building that's up for sale. Maybe it's an older building where they would want to rehab or renovate or even consider tearing it down and rebuilding again, be able to explore their options. Now you have the former fireman who can go in and be able to negotiate and say, now this is a fire hazard. This needs to be done. That needs to be done. While the carpenter's overlooking at these stairs to the basement and the way upstairs, and especially if they're wooden stairs, and go, oh, this is shoddy work. I'm a carpenter. When in fact, you know, he could fix it with a couple hours of his time and make it look excellent and increase the value of the property. So there is the case of where the investor could be buying properties, but maybe not using the best judgment. The other two guys, either independently or even partnered, wouldn't have the financial wherewithal to purchase a bigger property and go into this big time. And so by them coming together, and that's from getting out there and going to events and ding, 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 marketing themselves, they were able to form this partnership based on each one having their own specific need for what they're doing. And that's part of it with real estate. Even, you know, for motivation and for creativity, there's another strategy for those of you that to even just sit there sometime and instead of forming your email or, you know, doing something specific, go through the information you have on people in your database. You never know. You may have just helped a carpenter buy a house or a former fireman rent a place or whatever the case might be, and you may be able to help form partnerships based on your knowledge of the industry. So again, there's another creative strategy, but this is the thing. A lot of it is in knowing what you don't know and trying to find the right source to help you that does know it.
Absolutely. I love that. Love that example. I think that not only are they great accountability partners when you have people who are sort of working towards the same goal, right? You all want to make your, you kind of created this group and you want to make, y'all want to make money. So you have a common goal. And then also you have the ability to share ideas and just really build that accountability into it, which I think is awesome. But in order to, my final point to kind of wrap this up is that in order to be more creative, you're going to have to sort of get out of your comfort zone and you ultimately have to be prepared to fail, you know, and obviously I don't like using the word failure because no one wants to fail, but the truth is all great ideas usually sort of spawn off of doing something that maybe where you failed. I know there's been lots of things where I decided, you know what, this didn't work, but it helped me learn a lot of great skills along the way. Most of my web development skills are because of business ideas that I've had that didn't work out, right? But I learned how to build a bunch of websites in the process, right? Dave, I think you're sort of similar to that, right?
Right.
Maybe not about the failures, but ultimately you've built a lot of websites. So that being said, I think I will leave a link in the show notes, but sort of like Dave, in your articles that you share, I want to share this video that's by famed real estate agent Barbara Corcoran, right? Broker. The Corcoran Group, Shark Tank fame, right? Barbara Corcoran. And she has an excellent talk about her story into success, which obviously started with lots of failures. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but ultimately, Barbara decided to do some real estate listings on tape, some New York City apartment listings on tape. She put her broker's phone numbers on there. Therefore, no one wanted to pass them out because they didn't want the other brokers to get their phone. You know, the brokers didn't want to give their clients tapes with their other brokers' phone numbers on there, which sort of makes sense. But her husband introduced her to this new thing called the internet. And then she decided to put her apartment listings on tape on the internet, and boom, it was a huge success. So that wouldn't have come without that failure that she did before, right? So it's an excellent talk, especially if you're in the real estate business, because she talks a lot about real estate things, and I will share that in the show notes. But most importantly, all of these different people, most people who are successful in real estate or successful in life, from everyone from, you know, Ben Franklin to Thomas Edison to Oprah Winfrey, Steve Jobs, Taylor Swift to Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is the guy who did the Hamilton play, all these different people are all different types of creatives from all walks of life. And ultimately, none of them ask for permission. So in order for you to go out and be your most creative self, you need to not ask for permission. You need to just do it. And success will follow, obviously, focusing on the things that are going to be most valuable to you and to your business. Focus on what is right for you to work on. Where are you most passionate about? What are you the best at doing? Maybe you are just a kick-ass salesman, so go sell, right? And then focus on all the other stuff to the people who can do that better for you. Dave and I, we're marketing people, right? I think I can say this. We're marketing people. We focus on marketing, so it might make sense to have people help you with marketing. And then you focus on selling and vice versa, right? So focus on what you can do best and then outsource everything else that you can. Most importantly, I have one final takeaway. And again, I'll leave this in the show notes. I have a 2019 Creative Your Ever workbook where I provide some sort of questionnaires, and it's a really great exercise for deciding on how you can be your most creative self. It's a completely free workbook. It's on my website, creativeyourever.com. Dave, if you don't mind me teasing that, it's on craveyourever.com. You can download it for free. All I need is your email address, and you can go ahead and download this free guide that is a great way to sort of come up with some ideas to align your passion and your vision with how you're going to be your most creative self in 2019. So, Dave, that's all I've got. What do you think?
All right. I think we just need a couple of ways to add to the creativity by incorporating these good ideas, maybe even over and over again. So to remind people, you could be enjoying this podcast. You could be driving to your next listing appointment and listening to get a little motivated that way. You can download this. You could be listening while you're in the gym, while you're working out, while you're walking, while you're taking the kids to and from school. At home. So it could be part of your relaxing just to sit and concentrate solely on what we have to say. So a lot of ways, and you can listen more than once. There's no limit. You know, iTunes doesn't hold back. So you can keep getting this advice, and maybe 2 or 3 months later, these are up on the website. Go back, listen to them again. Make sure you're doing the things that we suggest that are appropriate for what you're doing. So we're here to help you be creative, even if it's over and over again until you get there. So Scott, thanks for some great input as always. And that will do it for this week. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast with Dave Cole. Be sure to visit our website at davecole.com for more episodes with actionable strategies and to subscribe to future episodes. Please consider leaving a 5-star review and sharing this podcast with someone who would benefit from this content. Thank you, and see you next episode.